This episode is brought to you in part by Swim. Here's the thing about wishlist apps. Most of them just sit there. A customer saves a product, and then nothing happens. Swim actually activates that data. When someone wishlists a product, you could trigger price drop or back in stock alerts and feed that intent directly into Klaviyo or your CRM. You're not guessing what people want because they've told you. Plus, customers can share wishlists for gifts, and your team can view them to offer personalized service online or in-store. And unlike cart abandonment, wishlist data is permission-based. These are people raising their hand saying, hey, I want this, just not right now. Swim's been around for over a decade. It powers 45,000 stores and installs in about 5 minutes. You could try it for free today at getswim.com/Kurt. That's getswym.com/Kurt. Last month, when I was supposed to attend .dev in Toronto and then forgot my passport, was expired. Horrible. Didn't figure that out. Never making that mistake again. But we're here. You rescheduled with me. I'm thrilled. We're going to do this conversation again. I want to know from the two of you, what is changing about the Shopify platform? For years, I have said, a rising tide lifts all ships, right? And I believed it. The investments that Shopify made in the partner ecosystem, in the platform, in the entire thing, not just software and features, and the vision that goes with it means we attract more people, more development, and the whole thing gets bigger, better, easier to use for everyone involved, right? That's my thesis. I think I have seen Shopify, I think I've seen you as executives really reiterate a commitment to that promise this year. And I'm impressed and excited, but always slightly skeptical. I have questions. All right, we are joined today on the show by Atlee Clark and Eitan Seidman. Atlee, tell me in your own words, what do you do at Shopify?
I am a VP of partnerships here at Shopify. So I oversee partner programs across apps and agencies.
Well, how long have you been there?
I've been here just over 11 years.
Oh, wow. Okay, long time.
Yeah, I was 12 when I started.
Yeah, I'm forever 29.
Yeah, exactly. It's perfect. Yeah.
And Eitan, how about yourself?
I'm a VP of product at Shopify. I've been here almost 6 years. I work on all things partner and developer from the product side. So think about like starting from the top of the journey, Shopify.dev, our dev docs, our CLI, our dev dashboard, our distribution to App Store, Theme Store, and then a lot of the primitives that power the experience. So things like Shopify Functions, Polaris, meta fields, meta objects, all the kind of key capabilities that developers might use on their journey, app events, which is a newer thing. And then also we work on some power tools like analytics and flow.
Tell me, primitive is a phrase I've heard a lot in the last couple of years in reference to software. Tell me what a primitive is.
Ooh, so a primitive can mean one of two things, like depending on the context. So we talk about probably like platform primitives and then also commerce primitives. So a commerce primitive is something where it's like, hey, this is an API and potentially storage that models commerce and that gives you the capability. So subscriptions, for example, is a primitive. Like, hey, we have the underlying capabilities that allow you to create subscriptions, manage subscriptions, delete them, modify them, all that sort of stuff. And then there's kind of like platform primitives, which are kind of key capabilities that a developer might need along their journey to make their app work. So, for example, meta fields and meta objects is a really great primitive for storing state. And then you want to use that state in various places across Shopify. Like, hey, I want this meta field to be used in Shopify Functions or on the storefront or in other places. So it's an underlying capability that usually powers commerce or some sort of underlying platform thing that is needed in the journey.
Okay. So synonym for feature? Not quite.
Not quite, because typically features are built on top of the primitives, right? So you're like, hey, I'm going to use, actually take discounting. Like, hey, I'm going to go build a discounting feature on top of like, you know, meta fields as a storage mechanism, on top of the meta field storage primitive, or go and do it that way.
Okay.
So sometimes it can be, but not always.
Good to know. That's kind of, through context clues, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Do either of you, by chance, have your own Shopify stores?
I do. I do.
Atlee, you do. What is it?
It's called Pika Layers, and we make sensory-friendly pajamas for every kid. I've been doing it for, 7 years. And I think it was the thing that kept me sane during COVID, and also probably makes me the most annoying VP at Shopify, because I'm always in, you know, PM's DMs just being like, hi, so feature idea, or hey, this thing's broken. But I think it is I think it makes me better at my job because it helps me deeply understand the platform, have tons of merchant empathy. And then, of course, I work with apps, I've worked with agencies, and really like get to interact with like the ecosystem that I work with every day. So it's really fun. And I always joke it's way harder than my day job. So.
Yeah, no, it is. It is not easy to run an e-com store once you add up like, you know, all the hats you have to wear and everything you have to do. But it's rewarding.
And you think you know what you're doing. Like, I work at Shopify. I should be better at it. And then there's things you can't control. Like 2 days, there was a typhoon at our manufacturers, and we now have an undetermined delay in our fall collection. So, you know, it's just another fun nighttime thing to try to figure out.
Nat, you and I talked, not on this podcast, but like on a Zoom call, maybe less than a year ago. And you said, hey, do you use Claude with your stores yet? And I said, no, that scares me. I'm like, I'm not plugging that thing into my store. Now I have done it. Now that Shopify has provided us those tools. Do you have a coding agent like Claude or Codex plugged into your store?
Yeah, I use Claude Code with my store. I actually was very proud of myself. I did I wanted to do like swatches based on actual product images as opposed to uploading fabric samples. Whole different reasons why I wanted to do that. But basically, I just like created this entire instruction and it did the whole thing. It was amazing. There was a couple bumps that I had to go back and deal with, but it was incredible. So I use Claude with the Shopify AI toolkit that actually Eitan's team built. So should thank Eitan. And then I also bug him. I'm like, hey, this thing isn't working.
I'm thrilled to have you. I did not know that. I'm thrilled to have you here because that the AI toolkit, Shopify saying here is an official way to plug in this coding agent. That was the thing that for me, it was like, oh, now you have permission to do it, right? Like prior to that, I'm like, I'm not sure about this. Like I was, you know, using a very manual approach. Once that happened, I was like, okay, I've given permission to attempt this, and then I will add my own guardrails that I'm comfortable with on top of it. I love that. Tell me about that background, that process. How did that come to pass? I'm sure it didn't happen lightly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so context is we had an MCP server for a while. We also had a CLI for apps that apps could use. And we were introducing the ability for apps to kind of like do one-off execution of GraphQL. So like with this app execute command where you could be like, hey, execute this piece of GraphQL, which could be a query or mutation. And we were like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if like a merchant or an agency could do this without like having like an actual app, right? And so what we did is we came up with the idea of like store execute, which basically says, hey, I want to go and run something or an agent. I want to empower an agent to go run this thing on my shop. Like, so store execute could be like, hey, product create. It could be product update. And then you could take context. You could tell the agent, hey, go and update my products with SEO that is well suited for a fall collection, right? For Pika Layers. And so the store execute command is what enabled this, right? You could do it kind of outside the context of an app. Behind the scenes, we obviously validate like, hey, you Atlee have the authority to do this on your shop. So it is done like in a way that is fully authenticated. And we really kind of geared it towards merchants more so than like app developers in a way. Cause again, the store execute command enabled you to do without that app. And so The reception has been phenomenal, right? It's like, it was like, we literally put it out there, like, just kind of like, okay, let's see how this goes. And it went quite viral in terms of just the adoption. So yeah, it's been awesome to see. And like all these use cases, like exactly the ones Ali is describing, where now, hey, you can plug in, the agents will of course find the right command, the right GraphQL to go and execute on the shop. But I think the human stays in the loop, right? Like Atlee is saying like, okay, yes, Claude, go and do this on my shop, and making sure that all the mutations are happening that way.
Yes. No, I think human in the loop has become one of my favorite phrases lately. I think if you give an, my feeling is you can have an agent run autonomously. That's fine. You will potentially get a mid output. You'll get a C+ output. The more human you add to it, it becomes a force multiplier. Now we can get to A++ output. But, you know, do same thing. It's like, all right, you still have to have a person look at it, review, check the plan, and essentially provide, you know, guidance along the way for the robot to do its work. Agree or disagree?
Strong agree. Strong agree. Yeah. I think, like, yeah, I mean, like, also, I mean, look, LLMs are phenomenal, right? Unbelievable. They're really good also, like, monotonous tasks that, like, humans are bad at, right? Like, or, like, you know, like, repeated monotonous tasks, and, like, they'll always do it with, like, gusto and vigor. Like, yes, Eitan, I will do that for you for the thousandth time. But they will make mistakes, right? And so the human in the loop to be like, wait a second, this doesn't look quite right. This is actually not what I intended. Oh, wait, like, please do not delete all my products. I do not want that. So yeah, I absolutely strongly agree.
Yeah. Okay. We're all on the same page, it seems. What, being that I missed .dev, I wasn't there. What's the headline? Like, what was the theme? What was the one big takeaway you wanted?
First of all, Kurt, we're very sad that you weren't there.
Thank you.
And it won't happen again. I think, you know, for us, this year's .dev, like, first of all, we made it 2 days as opposed to in the past it was 1 day. And really the purpose of that was to give enough, like, what I kept calling oxygen, to make sure that we were delivering great content that was relevant to everybody that was there, but also time and space for what I think is the most important and special thing about our ecosystem, which is the connection between everyone. I talked on stage about what I like to call collaborative competition, which I think is the thing that makes this ecosystem great, is that everyone believes what we were talking about earlier, Kurt, that like every new entrant, every new partner, every new merchant just makes the ecosystem better. Like if it's bigger, it is better. It is creating more opportunity for in and of itself of existing and growing and evolving. And so the big takeaway, I think, was, and I'll just say this from the like an ecosystem side, was really like, that is where we want to invest, is like making sure that we are continuously making the pie bigger, or all agreeing that the pie is infinite on the opportunity. And then I think on the product side, and Eitan, you should weigh in on this, but it's like, you know, Vanessa, VP of product here at Shopify, executive, really got a stage and talked about some of the things that we're thinking about in terms of the future, UCP, catalog, like how do we think about agentic commerce, and really trying to say like, this is the moment that Shopify and its ecosystem together can take a hold of this technology, take a hold of this opportunity, and turn it into something really productive.
A big change if you're a partner, and I think merchants should know this too, because it will ultimately be relevant to them, to their interests. The revenue sharing model that Shopify has with partners has always been good, has always been generous. It has changed in a significant way. What is it?
Yeah. So the change is that we are now going to be sharing in the upside of GMV growth of our merchants that partners bring to Shopify and build and launch on Shopify. And I think maybe what's interesting is to understand like the why behind why we made this change.
That was all this was a setup for me to go, why do this now? Like, I'm not mad about it.
But why do it?
But why now?
There is a couple reasons. So one, we're looking at our current, you know, our current reward system, and we wanted to evaluate it on a couple like levels. So one was like, is it simple to understand? And that is really, you know, it's like a Prada principle that we have. It's just like, hey, is this something that you can see and see the very clear opportunity? And the reality was, like, we had tacked on a lot of things and made all these different qualifiers for all different kinds of different plans and different partners and all this stuff. And there was good reasons for those over time, but collectively they weren't making the thing good. So we're like, okay, how do we make it super, super clear and simple? Two, how do we make sure that we're on the same side of the table as our partners? And by that, it's like, how do we all have the same shared incentives? And our incentives as a collective are to bring more people to Shopify, give those people more Shopify, and to set them up for success, right? Like, we all want merchants to be successful, because if they're successful on our platforms and with our apps and with our agencies, then it helps. Again, it's like that infinite pie mentality. And so set up those incentives to do that. And then lastly, just like, be more generous. We believe that our partner ecosystem, and this is like relevant specifically to our agency, is play such an important part on bringing Shopify to the world and for supporting our merchants and their growth and their challenges and their opportunities and all that kind of thing. It's like, hey, like, we want to be more together on that. And so those were the principles that we set out with. And then we went and we looked. And so we made it super simple. The new model applies to all plans, all partners, all merchants. Very, very simple. Same side of the table. So the incentives are focused on both MRR, so the subscription fee that merchants pay that they always have, but now also the GMV. So when a merchant is either set up for success or becomes more successful, Shopify, the merchant, and the partner all reap that reward. And then because of those two things together, it is inherently more generous. Also on that generous side, we added a couple of things to make it more clear and have higher opportunity for things like Plus upgrades, which is like the number one thing I hear about all the time. I upgrade somebody to Plus and I do not get rewarded for that. Well, that is no longer the case. Plus upgrades get rewards. We made the return on retail have a longer time span. And then there's new opportunities across B2B as well as shop. Pay off Shopify. So that was the intent, and that's what we landed. And it seems to be, people are liking it.
Wrong address, wrong size. Add one more. The same three emails every single day, and everyone is a ticket your team handles by hand. Read it, verify it, fix it in Shopify, email the customer back. Do that a few hundred times a month, and you're paying salaries to be a manual order editing tool. Our sponsor, Cleverific, has been thinking about this for years. They've run order editing on Shopify since before it was a category. Now your shoppers can fix their own orders right on the order status page. Address, size, quantity, add-ons. No ticket, no back and forth, and everything writes straight back through Shopify. And here's what's new. Order upsells that build themselves. Cleverific reads your store's order history, generates post-purchase offers based on what your customers actually buy, and it works with the flows you already run. This summer, they'll even do the whole thing for you. Mention the unofficial Shopify podcast and Cleverific will handle the complete setup, order editing, post-purchase upsells, all of it done for you, plus a $500 upsell credit to get you started. So stop editing orders for your customers. Let them do it themselves and let it pay for itself. Cleverific order editing on the Shopify App Store. You know, I like it. I do. For us, just in a biz dev cycle, it just happened to come at a good time. But beyond that, you know, I see the vision, you know, profit sharing. Oh my gosh. We align incentives that way. And then if merchant grows, I assist in that. And I'm the one who migrated them to Shopify. What? I share in that. That's fantastic. How does our agentic vision fit into that? I suspect the answer is something, something Universal Commerce Protocol.
Yeah. And something, something catalog.
Something, something catalog.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think like another big part of .dev was talking about how do we help merchants and partners succeed in this new era, right? So we talked a lot about things we're doing with AI Toolkit. We talked about Sidekick app extensions. But we launched Catalog in January of this year. It feels like forever ago, but it's like barely been a year.
It's not even been a year yet. We launched it. We've added a bunch of new capabilities. And we're also announced that there's going to be a monetization aspect to Catalog as well, right? Where we want to incentivize our partners to build phenomenal experiences. It's an amazing opportunity to build these new experiences. And partners will participate in the upside of it. So same thing we did with apps and with themes and with storefronts. Now we're doing for Catalog as well, where again, I think Kurt, you built a new experience and you shared it out on Twitter. There's a lot of people building new experiences on it. And this is, I think it's just an amazing opportunity because like the world has never really had this before where it's like, hey, the world's products in a single API easily available via the Catalog API. And it's just, I think it's going to be really cool to see what it unleashes. And you can build lots of, specific things like, hey, I want to go build a thing for like kids' Legos and start finding all the products for kids' Legos. I'm into pizza making. And so like I'm working on a commerce experience for pizza making where I can show like ovens and peels and accessories. And so I think it's going to be really neat to see the creativity it unleashes. And then again, making sure partners can participate in it.
Yeah, those have been, I see the vision with UCP. It's such a fun, accessible way to build something that is Shopify adjacent. And that's what's kind of cool about it is like someone who has not developed an app, a theme, whatever, worked on a Shopify store yet, can get an introduction to it by being able to work on their own thing and then pull in products from the Shopify catalog through UCP. And I built two demos with it and it was successful at it. One that finds Barbies, which is kind of cool, and the other one that found retro video games. And I just picked two hobbies that my wife and I had so that I'd be familiar with it. So I'd be comfortable that like, oh my gosh, this thing works. And so going through the dev docs for that, I suspect that this gets lumped into some kind of revenue sharing in the future. And that's how we incentivize building on this as well. Right or wrong?
Right. Yeah. So there will be a revenue sharing, still have details to work out and all the mechanics to work out. But yes, we very much want partners to participate in all the upside that's created. If you create an awesome experience and the Barbie site gets a ton of traffic and helps merchants sell more of their stuff, we absolutely want partners to participate in the upside of it.
So we've
and you all will.
So partners become, indirectly the sales force for this agentic network by building experiences outside of Shopify that leverage and point to Shopify products.
You got it.
Ooh, that's good. That's so fun because we're seeing these projects already being built. Now it's just a matter of time until we see one that's like, this is a breakout success. This one's a runaway success.
Yep.
And then once someone, the first person to crack it where it's like, oh, that really, really did something. Well, then you're going to see more. And this thing is potentially the snowballs.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you'll see them like in a lot of like niches, right? Just niches that like, hey, maybe it's like South African bookstore, right? And somebody just builds a phenomenal South African experience, for that. So I think there'll be a lot of different niches and passions where people can do surface products and help people discover these things in ways that were just not possible before.
And I think it's also such a cool opportunity for merchants for a new avenue of discovery that they, again, if they're like, in the world of like millions of products, how do you get discovered? And then if you can get to your audience in a more niche way or in a way that they're already interacting with, let's say like a creator or a different, they're a part of a fan base, a Barbie fan base or whatever it is, then you can get discovered in new ways. And I think that's really exciting. I'm really gunning for the, people to build the baby registry apps here. So call me if you are.
Yeah, automatic. I hadn't thought of that. That's a good one. Baby registry. Like I've seen a fair number of these now, and they're very much, they're like hobby based, interest based, or there's a lot around gifting, like trying to find the right gift. So like definitely see it evolving very quickly. It's fun.
It's exciting.
So in many ways, like that agentic future, that portion of it becomes self-fulfilling, though it's not necessarily. Like UCP kind of gets lumped into AI and agentic talk. It on its face, it isn't necessarily an AI thing. Any application could pull and get the query and make the query and get the products.
Yeah. I mean, it's any application. I mean, the thing that UCP though enables is like every Shopify store by default supports UCP. And so it enables agents to talk to that shop in a programmatic way to go and, you know, build carts, add to the cart. So you can be in that sort of agentic environment where, like, imagine actually, like, play it out for a second. Hey, I go build a new chat-based thing for a baby registry. And it's like, hey, you know, I'm shopping for a friend, helping them get ready for a new baby that's coming, and go to their registry and go find things and then add them to a cart. And so all that can now be done programmatically, right? So you can interact in that environment, fully build a cart. And then when you're ready to check out, it can happen agentically, or it can happen like, hey, just continue on to the merchant storefront and go check out there.
And if I launch on Shopify today, I am opted into this by default. Like, this is just one of several features on and available should an AI request these things.
Correct.
Cool. But
merchants aren't in control.
You can opt out. Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it should make that clear. Yeah, anyone can opt out of it if they choose to. Or if I make a product like unlisted, it's still in my store, but then it gets exempted, right?
If it's unlisted, it would not show up. Like, it goes by channel. That, like, there's a configuration inside of, like, the admin to be like, hey, these are the channels I want it to be in.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, as long as we're talking agentic, I want to talk about Sidekick. You know, we just integrated it into our app, into Promo Party.
Nice.
And it worked. It was really cool. It was... I don't know why it impressed me like it did, but seeing your own app get surfaced in Shopify Sidekick, I was like, wow, that's really cool. I was elated to see it. Tell me about, give me a little bit of background there about Sidekick. How long have we had Sidekick now?
Ooh, at least a couple years. I want to say maybe.
I don't know what time is anymore, though.
Yeah. I know.
It was two editions ago.
Ever since 2020, I'm like, I have no idea.
I don't know anymore, but yeah, at least 2 years.
Yeah, at least 2 years. That that's my take too.
So we've established Sidekick's been around a few years. What's new here?
I mean, big thing that's new is Sidekick app extensions is now generally available to all apps. Right, so any app can go and build Sidekick app extensions. We kind of like early launched it in January, February timeframe, where we said, hey, let's get it out to a few select partners, if you will, to get some eyes on it, see how it's working, and also fine tune it. Because I think, like, one of the things, going back to our prior conversation, is that it's really important that Sidekick is safe, right? Like, it's really important that when a merchant goes to Sidekick, that they can trust, okay, hey, this, what I tell it to do is not going to do something to my shop that I did not intend it to do. If I go and ask an app to go do something, that, again, I can be comfortable that it's all going to work the way I want to. So that was really like a key principle we had, was around safety. We very much wanted to enable though apps to participate. We're like, hey, like, you know, it's really annoying that, like, I want to go and find out about, like, my subscription and how it's doing, or I'm running some sort of email marketing campaign. How's that doing? So two extensions, the data extension, which allows you to bring data into your app, and then the action extension, where you can kind of stage things and say, hey, I want to go and create a merchant says, I want to go and create an email campaign. We can bring up that experience for the merchant and kind of prompt and get everything in the right shape. And then the merchant hits go. So key things were, like, keep it safe and really enable apps to kind of to showcase their functionality in a way that serves merchants and helps them get more done faster.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the first time I went, the two moments I had with Sidekick where I went, well, this is really good, was early on, just being able to generate reports with it quickly. Being like, I just need to know this KPI. I need to know this metric for this time range in a store. And I don't necessarily want to have to, you know, fight through filters to figure it out myself. You know, that takes 10 minutes. Robot, you deal with it. And it does. You know, it is able to generate the reports for me, which is very convenient, especially, you know, for someone who's, like, jumping through various stores throughout the day. And the other one that just, like, really, it become incredibly useful, it builds complex flows. In Shopify Flow, I could do automation by describing to it what I want up front. That is a big time savings. You know, not having to do as much trial and error with a Shopify Flow to get it, you know, when I'm building it myself versus having Sidekick do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Both those are great use cases. We worked on the, like, yeah, folks in my team worked on the Flow one. Like, I think it's just overall, I think the thing you described is, I think, what a lot of us feel when you go and use it, where you're like, hey, walking through what we call like an imperative UI can be really clunky. It's like, okay, I have to, like, if you take the app example, okay, I have to go to the app, I have to find the reports tab, I have to click these filters, figure out what it is. And like that whole thing takes you like a minute. Whereas you can say, hey, you know, Sidekick, how did my last email campaign do? Boom, it knows, okay, wait a second, there's a tool registered here that's using Saguna or Klaviyo. Okay, great. Let me go ask Saguna all details. It does all the tool chaining calls and comes back with an answer like way faster than you would get through that kind of imperative UI.
And I mean, if it's come this far in 2 years, 2 years from now, what's this thing going to be able to do for me?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that we talk about a lot is obviously like, you know, today LLMs are the worst they're ever going to be. Right.
Yeah, they still can't fit. Time just baffles all LLMs. Like what are the current present is very confusing to it, it seems.
For us, it's just focusing on breadth and depth, right? So like, you know, we think of a lot about, okay, I mean, take analytics, right? How do we do a better job of informing it, giving it all the context on like more of our schemas and also just better true set of like, okay, hey, when you ask a question, let's actually take analytics as a domain. It's like, hey, how do we actually figure out what is the right visualization to show you, right? It's like, okay, you ask a question about like, hey, how does this trend over time, right? Is that best answered with a line chart, with a bar chart? And so continuing to like grow, obviously, the set of use cases that it can answer and handle, but then also doing a better job on the use cases and saying, hey, okay, now actually we know what the right visualization is for this, right? Or if you ask by channel, you know, say, hey, what are my sales by channel for the last 3 months, right? You know, there's different ways to show that data that can be compelling. And so now doing a better job of that, we just have new visualizations. We launch an analytics where we can say, hey, we'll show you like a tree map sort of visualization that helps you understand that data better.
Support for this episode comes from Zipify One-Click Upsell. And they want to know, what if your upsell app paid for itself? Every Shopify merchant knows they need upsells, but upsells aren't free. There's the monthly cost, a cut of every sale. Some apps charge you per offer view, whether it converts or not. One-click upsell is the gold standard. It's the only upsell app that works across your entire funnel, the product page, the cart, checkout, and post-purchase. And recently, they introduced a feature that can make all of those upsells free. It's called Post-Profit. It places brand-safe offers from names like Disney Plus and Hilton on your thank you page, and then deposits cash directly into your bank account. Some merchants are clearing $100,000 a month simply by turning it on. Post-Profit can cover your entire one-click upsell subscription, so you get the best full-funnel upsell coverage available for a fraction of the cost. So if free upsells sound good to you, visit zipify.com/Kurt and start your free trial today. That's zipify.com/KURT. 30 days free. A lot of changes to this platform in direction or strategy, potentially. If I'm an agency or an app developer, where should I be placing my bets now? Like, if it were me, I think I would look at point of sale before anything else if I were to start over today.
I think point of sale is a really interesting area. Now, we've had point of sale for the entire time I've been at Shopify. But I think that where we are right now is we're at this really interesting juncture where I do think the opportunity is quite large. I think on the app side, like operating a physical store is the messiest thing you can think of, right? Like you have employees that are showing up for a shift. You have inventory like literally sitting in the store. You have to merchandise inside the store. You have people coming in and out. You have people returning and buying and using credit cards and using cash. And you got to clean it. You got to pay rent. Like there's so many things going on. And I think that if you are somebody who understands a pain point within that set of mess over here, and you also have a keen understanding of the way that Shopify as a platform works, and you can leverage your understanding of Shopify as a platform into applying one of those solutions to one of those problems, I think you're in a really, really good position to help solve a lot of people's problems, but also like ride the wave with us as we continue to expand POS. B2B is also super interesting. I think it was interesting at .dev that B2B sessions were some of the most highly attended. And again, another place that's super messy, that needs lots of new solutions, that again, if you understand the Shopify primitives, if you understand the Shopify stack and you understand how it works, I just think you can help apply that same sort of like product philosophy and ease of use and clarity of data to those problems. I think there's tons and tons of opportunity.
And like, we're now about a month out from .dev. So I want to ask you some .dev questions. I got three for you. What, a year from now, we're at .dev again, how do you know, like, what's just anything, an anecdote, a number, something that would have told you, like, okay, what we set out to do last year was successful?
I think a couple ones. I mean, coming back to what we talked about earlier, I think I'd love to see, like, amazing experiences built on top of catalog. And I think you could see a world where, like, we're giving build awards to, like, amazing catalog experiences, folks that are pushing the frontier of commerce utilizing catalog and UCP. I think that would be awesome to see a year from now at next.dev. The other one that we have not spoken about a lot, but we shared it at .dev, and we shared it a lot on X afterwards, is we're enabling apps to utilize our analytics stack to build merchant analytics experiences. So historically, if you were like an app and you wanted to provide analytics, right, you're like, hey, I'm Gil building checkout blocks pre-acquisition. And you're like, okay, I want to show some stats about how much this little guarantee banner is shown or shown to buyers, things like that. Like Gil or a developer had to build analytics from the ground up, right? Store all your own data.
Ingest the data, do our own calculations on data that may have, actually, I've run into this. We're like, hey, let's calculate AOV. Oh, wait, we can't just pull it from the store. We can go figure it out ourselves. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And so now we've built out a whole stack of capabilities to enable developers to use Shopify Analytics to power their app analytics, which will remove, I think, a lot of burden from developers. So developers can focus more on like building merchant value rather than like the inner workings of how to manage an analytics stack, but also then give merchants a more integrated experience, right? So they can see their entire shop and how it's performing. So we introduced like app events, like in analytics, where you can say, hey, I'm going to send all these events in. I'm going to send email sends and email opens and email clicks. And then we can do the aggregations for you all you have to do is Shopify QL. So I think it's another capability that like a year from now, I'm looking forward to seeing apps do an amazing job utilizing that, which again, will give merchants, I think, an even better experience with apps. And
that's,
you can come into
know.
Analytics and again, see your whole business.
All right, here's a good one for you, and we'll wrap it up. As you're talking to partners at .dev, I want to know two things. Your biggest surprise on what people were building? You know, it's always like you're giving us the tools and the opportunity, but what we go do with it, you know, you can't necessarily predict or control. So, you know, what surprised you about what's out there being built? And here's the hard one. What's the complaint you haven't fixed yet?
How much time do you have, Kurt?
Yeah.
I always take the complaints as a sign that everybody cares a lot. So that's how I put it in my brain so that I can be like, okay, I can do this. So I think on the surprise, and maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but I think you know this, but I don't know if other people know this, like my first job at Shopify was working on the Shopify App Store, right? So I have my perspective from and on agency. But I sort of left that world in like early 2018. Early 2019. And it's so cool to see the difference like, and how much has happened in between those two times. And one of the things, the thing that sticks out the most for me is just the level of complexity that people have gotten themselves into, which is amazing because it solves, it's a continuing to solve really, really gnarly problems. Again, like on the B2B side, like some of those agencies are doing, are taking people out of the Stone Age and like from faxing handwritten things to like this incredible experience that is saving them so much time, so much money, making their businesses more profitable. And it's just like, it's incredible to see. And then also like the people that are dealing with really complex things like all of the ERPs and just like going really, really deep, again, to bring sort of the Shopify ethos to every component of a merchant's business, no matter how, if they're a mom and pop wholesaler or if they're like a massive global company, we're just, everybody is just getting deeper and deeper into the problem set, which I think is really cool and always, like, it just sort of surprises me. It probably shouldn't, but it does.
I mean, I think one complaint that is that I heard, or not, like one theme I heard a lot about is like how we do change management on the platform, right? So like, I think one of the things about Shopify, right, is we're always bringing new capabilities to the forefront. We're always kind of trying to reimagine, okay, if we were doing this thing from today moving forward, how would we go and do it? And that's always tricky, right? Because there are people who have invested a lot in the old way of doing things, and how do you kind of move an entire ecosystem of many tens of thousands of public applications in the App Store forward, obviously hundreds of thousands, maybe millions at this point, of like apps that are like custom applications built for shops. And so it was something I heard a lot about, like, hey, Eitan, like expiring tokens we're doing, and like you have app pricing and we're doing this and that and the other. So I think we've, just to say it, like we've gotten like way better at reducing breaking changes and saying, hey, we're going to like we take the API and its contracts seriously, and trying to be more thoughtful about how we kind of move an entire ecosystem onto new things, right? So we move from scripts to functions, and we did that over a period of time of effectively like 3+ years. And so it's a complaint that I think we have not yet quite fixed, and I'm not sure we ever will, but I think we can get better. Like we can get better in terms of like, okay, like we're always going to be a bleeding edge platform that is looking to say, how do we, again, build APIs and primitives, to come back to that word, the right way for the future. But also how do we do it in a thoughtful way? Because we want to ensure that, you know, our community is spending its time building on behalf of merchants and not just spending its time like upgrading APIs.
I think anyone who has worked in software should have empathy for the sheer insanity of operating a platform at this scale, right? Like just everything you change has downstream effects, and many of them are like, it's going to be stuff in the future that no one could have conceived of, right? Like, just, it seems like such an impossible task. For what it's worth, I still check the change log. I check the change log, and then, you know, whatever email I get that says action required in big capitals, I go, okay. And then, of course, Twitter, right?
Yeah.
Twitter's always, or X now, is always, very helpful. Man, this has been enlightening. I'm so thrilled that we're able to reschedule it and record, and I swear I will see you in person in Toronto next year. But any closing thoughts from either of you, words of wisdom, tips, things you wished people would do?
I'd say, like, as I joked before, like the complaints are an indication that the ecosystem cares about this thing. And I think, you know, Eitan and I have been doing these roundtables about once a month with groups of different partners from all over the world. And I think things that we've heard there and things that we heard at .dev are things that we've been actioning and prioritizing. And like that feedback is so valuable to us. And so keep it coming, because it makes us better. And you guys all hold us to a really high bar, and that is great. That's what we want, because that's what's going to make us all more successful in the long run. So keep it up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Aiden, anything to add?
No, I was strong plus one that like it sounds cliche, but it really is true that the ecosystem at its finest just really makes Shopify the product better and delivers a better merchant experience for our merchants. And like there are like real, I mean, actually one example just to kind of bring it home and like bring like is one of the apps that we gave an award to at the Build Awards is Discount Kit and Sammy and Dave. And like they've been building on the platform for like years and years and years. Actually, Sammy was the first partner I met when I started at Shopify. We met through like this like weird mechanism we had in Slack where you could like meet a random partner, and I got paired with Sammy. And he was building discounting like 6 years ago, and he's kept on building it. He evolved from like our janky APIs back then to using Shopify functions and using Polaris, using the full app like stack. And like Discount Kit and Sammy has just made the platform, and like there are dozens, hundreds of examples of these, made the platform so much better because of like, oh, hey, have you thought about this use case? Have you thought about that use case? How's it going to work? And so it really is tremendously helpful just to make the product better.
I want to go build something. I want to go tell Claude to do something. I just want to get on the tools. That's how I love like that. That's always what's fun about interacting with Shopify executives. I always walk away going, I have to go make something now.
That's great. And then send us.
That's
the
great.
Feedback.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That exactly. Like that. It just the community, the ecosystem, the ethos, it fits the personality for a builder. Right. And I think that comes from the top down. And I appreciate that. And thank you for it. So then my final question is, if someone wants to participate in this community, where's the best place to go?
Oh, Shopify.com/partners.
All right.
Sign up for a partner. We've been doing a lot of meetups. We've done over 70 since the beginning of the year all over the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. And so watch out for those. Great way to connect with other partners in where you live and also Shopify, and hang out with us on X because we're there all the time.
Yeah, just at Lee Clark and you'll get it. You'll get answers to anything.
Okay, I think we're not doing better than that. We will end it there. Aiden Seidman, at Lee Clark, thank you both so much.
Thanks, Kurt. This is great.
Hey, before you go, I was hoping you would check out our new app, Promo Party Pro. It is what I want to be the single best, easiest way to run a free gift with purchase promo on Shopify. We just put it live in the App Store. We've got less than 50 users. We want your feedback. So if you need to run a free gift with purchase promo in the near future, install it, try it. There's a live chat. I check that all the time. And so if you have any issues at all, you know, or any suggestions on how we can make it even easier to use, let us know. We're happy to help. If you want to try it, search Promo Party in the App Store. Promo Party Pro is the app. Give it a shot. It's got a free trial. Thanks.